All right, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, if we can, please. Matthew chapter 28. We have been talking about the Christian school, and so I'm going to give you a combination of messages that I've brought on the radio the last couple of weeks on what is Christian education. I think it's good to remind ourselves of the Christian school ministry. This time of year, we're getting ready to go into our 36th school year, and I think it's important to remind ourselves of our mission. What is the purpose? Do we just have a school to say we have one? What is the reason behind offering a Christian education to families in our community? So we're going to look at that this afternoon, Matthew chapter 28, if you look there, please, and I'll read verses 18 through 20 in Matthew chapter 28. This is, of course, we call it the Great Commission, but the Bible says here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, speaking to the disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice two places there in verse 19. Jesus says, go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations. And then in verse 20, he begins there and says what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. An emphasis is there on teaching. So we're going to talk this afternoon for a few moments on what is Christian education. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those that have gathered this afternoon. Help me to be a blessing. Lord, help us to be mindful of the ministry of our Christian school. Lord, we don't just have one to say we're doing something, Lord, but there's an actual purpose and a mission behind it. Help us always to be mindful of that and help us to uplift you in everything we say and do. Thank you again for your word. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we begin our 36th school year this year. I've been a part of 35 of those. Those of you that don't know, just to give you a little history, the school began as Bible Haven Christian Academy. How many of you remember Bible Haven? A lot of times I still run into people when I talk about the school and they'll say Bible Haven. Remember Bible Haven? The school actually began back in what we now use as the nursery. And Dad and Sister Rita were the two teachers in there. And we went first through eighth grade, isn't that right? First through seventh grade. I was in kindergarten, so I actually went to Waltonville for kindergarten and missed out that very first year of school. But that's how the school began, with a vision of course, Dad and Sister Rita and several families that were also involved with starting the school. And, of course, now, after 36 years, the Lord's blessed us with the facilities that we do have, our school building. We've got two wings of classes, a gymnasium, and the Lord has added to that through the years. But I think it's important to be reminded of the purpose of our school. The devil, for some reason, and I've been around the church and school long enough to know this, for some reason the devil attacks our school more than he does our church. We deal with more, conflict, I guess. More conflict through the school than we do really through the church. And I've always wondered why, and I think the main reason is because the devil knows if he can prevent us from reaching young people. You know, young people are... statistics show that if a person doesn't get saved before the age of 18, that it's tough to get them saved, tough for them to... Because, they get set in their ways and everything. And so I think the devil attacks the Christian school because it's a ministry specifically to children. And, of course, then it perpetuates itself because now we've even got second and third generation families from our Christian school. And listen, we could not have the school that we have if it were not for the sacrifice of people through the years. I think of Mrs. Riley over here. Her two boys went to school when I did. That was a sacrifice. Here you had a single mother sending two kids to get them through school at a Christian school. Those who teach. Sister Phyllis has been with us now going on 18, 19 years. We were talking the other day. Connie's helping us this year. Many people throughout the years, the Lanays. All these people have helped us to be able to do this. It's not just the Reynoldses or a one-man show. It's the sacrifice of parents. It's a sacrifice of our church. The church sacrifices a lot to pay the utilities and keeping things going in the Christian school. Now, what is the definition of Christian education? You ever think about that? What is the definition? How do you define it? Well, I think we can define it by breaking the two words up. The word Christian, what does Christian mean? Well, Christian means Christ-like or followers of Christ. In the book of Acts, you don't need to turn to it, but Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, you've heard this passage before. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and what? Taught much people. There's teaching again. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians at Antioch. So the word Christian is a little Christ or Christ follower. So there's the first part. What about education? Well, the word education or to educate means this. The dictionary definition is to create by training and teaching. To create by training and teaching. So by definition, let's put them together. Christian education then means to create Christ-likeness or Christ-followers by training and teaching. That's what the Christian school does. It creates those who follow Christ through training and teaching. And listen, it's a daily thing. I've heard people say before, you know, our kids will act up in school, and I thought that was a Christian school. Listen, they're little lost sinners just like all the rest of us are. Amen? And so it's not, you know, don't get an idea that the kids at the Christian school, you know, they won't do ornery things. They will. But our goal, sometimes worse, our goal, though, is to create Christ followers, little Christ. That's the whole goal of Christian education. Now, I want to share with you two main points to the message. First of all, some misconceptions. I'm just going to give you two misconceptions of Christian education. Here they are. Number one, some people have the misconception that a Christian school is just a Bible school. It's just a Bible school. Now, let me ask you this. If that was the case, would that necessarily be a bad thing? No, that would not be a bad thing. But I've heard people say that before. In fact, I had a guy, I was almost kind of irritated at him. A couple of weeks ago, he called, had a high school boy, and he asked me, of course, about tuition and everything. And he said, well, are your teachers down there certified? And I said, no, sir. I said, we don't seek state certification. They're not certified. And, well, do you teach other things other than the Bible? And so I stopped and I said, sir, what is it that you're looking for? Well, he wants his son out of the bad environment that he's in, but at the same time, he doesn't know what he wants. That's the fact. He doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't want his son around the peer pressure he's in at the high school, but yet he's concerned about certification. Now, let me ask you this. Who certifies?
Yeah.
A state that's broke?
Yeah.
Is smart enough to certify teachers? That can't even, you know, keep its own bills paid? That doesn't make sense to me. Who are they to certify what a good teacher is? By the way, a good teacher just stays a step ahead of the kids anyway. If you can control a class and be smarter than the kids, or at least make them think you're smarter than they are, you're a good teacher. Because, listen, we've had teachers come that have had master's degrees and couldn't control a classroom. And so the education certification really doesn't impress. I've been doing it long enough. It doesn't really impress me a whole lot. It's more important if the teacher loves the Lord and has a love for their students, they'll go a long way in teaching. But, you know, that excuse, well, is it just a Bible school? Did you know, now listen, that our educational system was built on the Word of God? The New England Primer, which I don't think anyone in here is old enough to have used that, but the New England Primer used God's Word as a way to teach the alphabet. The letter A was in Adam's fall, we sinned all. The letter B, heaven to find, Bible mind. You take the great Ivy League institutions, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, you know what they were established as? They were established as Bible schools to teach pastors and send them out. You wouldn't find that today. Today they're liberal and you would hear all kinds of liberal teaching and everything. But they were founded on the Bible, is what they were founded on. At a Christian school, students receive a more well-rounded education. Now listen, here's why. Because we believe there's a body, soul, and a spirit. So you can teach a student all about math and English and social studies and they die and go to hell. But we realize they also have a soul and a spirit that needs to be reached. So we can include, thank God, and listen, it may come to the day where we can't do it. Because I fully expect, and I'm seeing it more and more, I fully expect someday for them to come down on Christian schools teaching God's Word and praying and that sort of thing. But thank God we can still do it. But I believe that a student receives a more well-rounded education at a Christian school. Listen, We believe that we believe that a person is created in God's image, that they didn't evolve. If you tell a student if you tell a child they evolved from an animal, what do you think that child's going to act like? They're going to act like an animal. Why wouldn't they? This is what they evolved from. But if you tell a child, hey, you were created in the image of God, and so, you know, you need to follow God's word and God's will for your life, well, then that's where the student's going to direct. So listen, when a person says, well, it's just a Bible school, that's a misconception. It is a Bible school. We teach math, English, social studies, and science. These things are priorities. Now listen, they're priorities, but they're not the top priority.
That's right.
We like, extracurricular activities. We have music and basketball and different things, and those things are good, but they're not the top priority. The top priority is sharing Jesus Christ with them. In a public school, and this is just the truth, public school is student-centered. Well, and listen, the natives run the fort. They really do. It's student-centered. In a Christian school, Christian education, it's Christ-centered. It's all about Christ. It's not about just the student. In a public school, the emphasis is on how to make a living. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? But it's how to make a living. In a Christian school, we teach how to live. It's much more important to teach a person how to live than how to make a living. Let's go to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, talks about how to live. Now, if you don't share God's word with a young person, how are they going to know how to live? What's the foundation? What's the basis? If you don't have God's word to stand on, and listen, that's not to say that there's not some fine public school teachers. You know, there's some fine public school teachers. They can't teach from the Bible. You know, they may be godly people. They're just, their hands are tied. And so, they can only teach certain things. But a child that has no basis of the Bible or God's word, you tell them to behave. Why should they behave? What's the foundation for behavior? To get a piece of candy? You know, some schools are even paying students to be good. That's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard, but some schools teach students to show up. If you show up so many days in the quarter, they pay you money. I'm serious. You don't believe it, you can research that and look it up, but it's the fact. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 11, I'm sorry. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, here's that word teaching again, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. Here's how to live. We should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, if you don't have this book as part of the curriculum, how in the world are you going to know that? How are you going to know to live, how to live in this present world? So that's the emphasis. Let's go on. Number two, let me give you a second misconception. Number two, I can't afford it. I've heard people say that. Well, I just can't afford it. The average American owes nearly $10,000 in credit card debt. Did you know you could send a child to our school for over 4 years? My question is, why do you think people have put on their credit card for $10,000? Vacations? That's already over and gone. Entertainment, plasma TVs or whatever. Wouldn't you rather invest that in your child's education? I would not want to expose my child to something that's opposite of what I would teach him at home or what they would hear at church. So some people say, I just can't afford it. It's sad, but many Christian people, now listen, many Christian people would rather use their money on homes and cars and entertainment than invest in a Christian education for their child. What do you think Jesus would say? Well, here's what he says, Luke chapter 12, listen to verse 15. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So my question is, where's your treasure? If it's not worth the investment of sending a child to a Christian school to give them a Christian education, you're telling me that your investment is more important to be put into your TV, into your car? I would rather live in a cheaper home, drive a beat-up car, because you only have those kids for a little while.
That's right.
And listen, when kids, by the time they're second or third grade even, their belief system is getting pretty well nailed down. Sometimes we'll have parents come in here with a 14 or 15-year-old and want the Christian school to reform them and straighten them out. You can't do it. If they don't get it when they're little, when they're young. So to me, it's worth it. Here's what's strange. Local churches will not even let us come and present our school. Do you know that? I have spent lots of time sending out letters and even personally going to some of our churches just to see if they would let me present the school, not to give us money or anything. And we had one school, one church in all these years that I know of, and that was Christian Fellowship Church, which is a non-denominational charismatic church that actually allowed me to come to their service and present the school. And they sponsored a student for $200 a month for a full year. $2,400. Only church in town that did it. Now, you would think that out of all the other, especially Baptist churches in the area, surely they could put us on their mission list, you know, and give $25 a month or $50 a month. Why won't they do it? I don't know if it's because of, I don't know if it's a jealousy thing, if it's a competition thing, maybe thinking we would steal their church members to come here. I don't know what the case is, but it's really strange because you would think, as Christian people, they would want their children in a Christian school or Christian environment, but it's not the case. I'll tell you something that happened this past week. Dad sent a letter up to one of our local papers. I won't tell you which one it is. We've got two in town. He sent a letter. Yeah, it wasn't the Sentinel. He sent a letter to the editor, and it didn't show for several days. And so I called the guy who is the editor at the newspaper, and I got his voicemail, and I asked him why they didn't run the letter. And he called me back and left me a voicemail, and he said we thought it was too much advertising. Now, if you read the letter, it was not advertising at all. It was just telling what we do here at the school. There's nothing mentioned in there about cost. There's nothing mentioned about send your kids here. All it was telling what we teach and thanking the community for supporting us through the years. Now, here's what Dad did. He went up there and he paid to run it as an advertisement. Now we're going to see if they really want it in the paper or not. Because they wouldn't run it as a letter to the editor. I kind of suspect a little bit they didn't want the controversy. But they'll let old Calvin, whatever his name is, write something about atheism and godlessness and this sort of junk. But there's something about, especially mentioning Jesus Christ, and I forget exactly what you put.
I said, we make no apology for leading our students.
We make no apology for leading our students to Jesus Christ. And so since they wouldn't run it as a letter to the editor, there will be an advertisement that it was actually, and it is expensive, and it's going to be in tomorrow's newspaper, one of our papers in town, not the Sentinel. I won't tell you which one it is. And I will mention that, and it's on that bulletin board. The Sentinel did run it. No questions asked, ran it, and there was no problems. But you get whatever newspaper you want to get. Number two, those are some misconceptions. I'm going to give you just the mission of Christian education. Let me share these with you real quick and we're done. What's our mission? Those are misconceptions. Here's the mission. Number one, to win children for Jesus. That's our main mission. If our mission was to just teach math, English, social studies, or science, we've lost our mission. We want to provide a good education. We want to have a good academic program, but that is not our mission. Our mission is to win hearts for Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 19, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. This is a good passage also for vacation Bible school, for Christian school. Anytime trying to reach children. You think Jesus loves little children? Amen. That's what he wants us to do. That's why we run a bus route. That's why we have Sunday school. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them." You know that there's some adults that are like that. Get these snotty-nosed, messy, loud kids out of here. Church is a place of formality. Let's not have that. But notice Jesus' reaction, verse 14. "But Jesus said, suffer or permit little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Every year we'll have somewhere between 5 and 10 students receive Jesus as their Savior at school. Does that happen by accident? No. You know why it happens? We begin our day with prayer. Amen. We start the day with prayer. First thing, we start our classes with prayer. We pray over lunch. The kids don't just go to the trough like a bunch of hogs and dig in. We all stop and we pray and thank the Lord for the meal that we got for the day. We wrap up the day with prayer. So they're getting it three times a day. You think it's any accident that maybe one or two of them get saved? And then maybe two or three more, we have a chapel service. They'll come in and sing songs, and we'll bring a chapel service. And sometimes they'll get saved in chapel. They memorize Bible verses. They have Bible classes. These are all important things because our main mission is to reach kids, young people, for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mission. You think that's happening at our other local public schools this year? You think they're praying when they start their day? Many of them won't even do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. They want to push One Nation Under God even out of our Pledge of Allegiance. But we're still doing it here. Now, they may come in here and want to try and prevent us sometime, but that's not going to happen real easy. We'll say that. But we start the day with prayer. We end the day with prayer. We pray over our food. And so that's why we see young people saved. Again, perfect? No. You're here and work with them enough, you know that the young people aren't perfect. But listen, sometimes, and Brian Cates actually said this, and I think he's right. Did you know this church and our Christian school, for many of these kids, is the only type of consistency that many of them see? You think of our bus children as having poor home lives. Did you know many of our Christian school kids do too? Many of our Christian school kids, in fact, that's why a lot of them are here. Because they've got some of our kids live with their grandparents. Their grandparents are bringing them here because their own moms and dads don't want to take care of them. And so when they come to this school or they come to this church, somebody I had run into a week or two ago said to me that they always like coming here because they know everything's the same. And I think that's the case, is that it gives a sense of consistency. And that's what we're looking for in the church and in the Christian school. Number two, our second part of our mission is not only to reach children's hearts for Christ, but to raise up Christian leaders for the future. Yeah. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We're looking to train Christian leaders. Our school motto is "Learning today, leading tomorrow." That's what our motto is. We've got that on our cards and on our notepads. I believe this: when you learn to follow the right leader, then you become equipped to lead others. Who else is going to lead this nation of ours? Right now, I hate to say it, but our country is being led by liberals. It's being led by some academians who have been taught liberalism and evolution and socialism and all these things. That's who's leading our nation. And the bad thing is that as our kids are coming up, they are becoming less and less familiarized with God's Word, and they're being inundated with this socialism junk, with this liberalism stuff, and so they just kind of figure that's just the way it is. Who's going to lead? If we don't train leaders here, who's going to lead? Amen. Who's going to lead in their families? Who's going to lead at their workplace? You know, we're not just looking to train pastors. We're looking to train people who will go out and work in the workplace and can stand up for Jesus and lead their families and their co-workers for Christ. So that's what our goal is. How are we ever going to at least maintain, listen, how are we going to at least maintain a Christian heritage in America if we don't teach it to our children?
That's right.
Our Christian heritage is under threat. Anybody watch Glenn Beck? Glenn, again, I think Dad said this before. If he's not a born-again Christian, he's on the verge. Because Glenn Beck, he nails it. If you ever watch Glenn Beck, and man, he tells history like it really is. But man, our Christian heritage is becoming more and more irrelevant or unnoticed. Because children are not being taught the truth. They're not being taught the truth about history and our godly Christian heritage that our nation was founded on. They try to make our founding fathers look like they were, you know, they were just common drunk guys, you know, that got together and put a nation together and all that without realizing that these men believed in God and founded the United States of America on Judeo-Christian principles, and we're getting away from that. And if Seth Lanay and Braden Reynolds and some of these kids don't learn that stuff now at a Christian school, who's going to lead this country? And so it's up to us. It's a great responsibility. Well, let's wrap it up. As I said before, academics are a priority. They're just not the top priority. Job skills. You know, it amazes me so often you'll see where they're offering some kind of new program for job skills. Well, job skills are important, but that should not be the top priority. Job skills, social skills, extracurricular activities, these sorts of things are okay, but the top priority, the top mission for Mount Vernon Christian School is to teach children how to live and to raise up leaders for tomorrow. We need to keep our school in prayer. As I said, our school is under attack. It just kind of blows my mind. It's almost as if, I've heard people say this, that have pulled their kids out of our school. They almost want to see our school close. It would be almost a feather in their cap to see the school close. Is that school, is it going to stay open? And here's the dumb thing. They look at it as if it's our school. You know whose school that is? That's God's. If the thing shut down tomorrow, there's no one to blame but say, well, I guess the Lord took his hand off of it. That's the way I look at church. You know, I think if we look at church and we look at our school and say, hey, these are God's ministry, this is God's work, then the gates of hell will not prevail against it because it's all God's. It's nothing of ours. It's nothing that, you know, we can say, well, we're doing everything we can to keep it open. No, it's the Lord's work. And I think, Dad, you're right on. I hadn't even thought of that. But just thanking God for what we have, if we do that with our church, we do that with our school, God might say, okay, now I see you appreciate what you got. Here's some more blessings. But first of all, we got to show that we appreciate what we have. Amen? Well, pray for our school, as I said. Let's do this, something different as we close. Let's make a circle of prayer. We may not have enough of us to go all the way around our pews. Let's cut through about where Paul and Debbie's at here if we can. We'll just make a kind of a small circle. And let's have prayer for our school and for our teachers. And we need to pray for safety. Listen, I think it's important to pray for the safety of our students and our teachers and our school. Let's just kind of, we'll make a circle. We may just circle, what do you think, right here? Let's do around these pews right here. I think we